Jasper, hi, how are you?
Hi Lisa, how's it going?
Long time no see.
I know. How are you doing?
Not too bad. I'm keeping myself busy, working, and
out
just
of trouble.
Mostly out of trouble. No bike, thankfully. But kind of getting back into the swing of things after the Christmas break, and just kind of picking up that momentum again.
Oh, good, good. So I'm just thinking about, I was trying to remember when you finished with us. You finished with us back in July last year, didn't you?
Early July, I think it was. July 7th, I want to
Oh, well
say.
done.
Maybe I'm wrong, I'm not quite sure. But I'm pretty sure my wrap party was around the same time. So I'm pretty sure it was like the 7th, maybe the 8th. I could be wrong.
So you were doing you were on a crew apprenticeship with us here at Skill Cymru.
Crew apprenticeship. I think we started it in July. Was it July? June?
Yeah,
July?
You were definitely July to July, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was.
But I've got to be honest, you were so damn busy that we never saw you.
Yeah, I think I came in for about July, August. Yeah, for about 2 months, and then all of a sudden I was on a job, and then I was on another job, and then I was on another job, and then the apprenticeship finished. And I was like,
I
oh,
know.
okay.
I
I
know
guess
it works like that for some people. Some it doesn't. Some it does, you know. That is the beauty of crew is that it can really suit certain people and certain jobs they want to do. But others do find they have to wait around for their opportunities to come up, you know. It just depends what's been done at the time, you know.
Yeah, and I suppose it kind of depends on, you know, what productions are on at that time and kind of what department you want to go into. I think I was quite fortunate that I wanted to go into the production office, and, you know, just not many people want to be in the production office. You know, people kind of hate the idea of being stuck in an office and kind of typing emails away and plodding along with it. But I found it really informative, actually. I kind of got to understand more about the kind of like cogs of the machine that is film and television. I loved it. I loved it.
So tell me a little bit about, I really want to know, or I want to go back to when, before crew. I know you come from a musical family.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of creative juices flowing in your household, obviously.
Yeah. So, you know, from as long as I can remember, my parents say from the age of 2. I don't really know how true that is, but they always said that I told them I wanted to direct and write and just make my own programs, my own films. Who knows where a 2-year-old found the word director. You know, but you know, that was kind of, that's always been my goal for as long as I can remember. It helps that having musical parents where, you know, they've been on tour around the world and around the UK. So when I told them that I wanted to do film and television, they weren't really able to say no. They were kind of like, okay, we
No.
understand you need to kind of itch that creative itch that you've been given by us. But I kind of, funnily actually, my dad sent me a link the other day of his old YouTube channel, which is about 17 years old.
Right.
And, you know, I remember him doing that when I was growing up and kind of seeing that ordinary people were able to kind of make videos and tell a story, and kind of that kind of pushed me probably a lot more to really want to do this. And then kind of as I gradually got older, I would write little sketches, little bits in, and then in school, I'd made sure I did media and I did drama, I did photography. I didn't want to give myself a backup plan, because
No.
you'll end up falling into that backup plan. So I was like, I'm fully focusing on film and television. Doesn't matter where in the industry I end up, I just know that's where I need to be.
Yeah.
And then college came, and I ended up doing a BFI course on VFX. I have
Right.
no, I couldn't tell you what we did. I'm not the greatest VFX man out there, but I met some very influential people there that I'm still friends with to this day, actually. And I remember after that course, them kind of saying to me, like, oh, we're working on some short films, some web series, some movies. We'd love you to kind of come join us. And I was like, oh my God, yeah, this is amazing. I've made it, you know? So I started kind of going to these shoots, and I was traveling a lot to West Wales a lot. And then I got a call from my college who said, hey, Jasper, you haven't really been in school much.
Oh,
Talk
no.
about it. And I went, oh, okay, I should probably kind of own up to this. And I even spoke to my parents about it. And I just said, I'm doing what I want to do. I'm learning what I want to learn. And my parents just kind of said, you can always go back to college if it doesn't work out. And I went, oh,
Okay.
okay. If you guys are fine with it, then I'm going to go tell my college tutors, and I guess I'm dropping out of college.
So, where were you at college?
I was in Gosignan College in Swansea Massive,
Yeah.
but the everyone in that college was so supportive of me. They
Yeah.
completely understood where I was coming from, because in college I did media, drama, and photography. So it's not like I did any sciences or any kind of, big brain subjects. Not saying that any of the media stuff wasn't big brain,
No.
but it made it a lot easier to kind of confide in my tutors, asking about their opinion, and they kind of all said the same thing was, and that was, you're doing what you want to do, you're learning what you want to do. If you change your mind, you can come back to college. So I kind of like took that on with me, like from then
Yeah.
to now, was like, okay, if I'm not enjoying what I'm doing, then I can always relearn and re-educate myself into something that works more for me. But luckily for me, that hasn't been the case. I've just been quite headstrong about where I
Yeah.
go.
So what came next after college then? Did you have anything to go to when you left college?
No, not really. I was living at home. I was still kind of, working on these really small productions, barely any budget. Then I kind of had to decide for myself, was, I need to get a job. I need I need to make money, so my kind of thinking was, if I work in a bar, then I can kind of work, maybe 2 to 3 days a week, and then the rest of the week I'm flexible enough to go work on these shoots with these people.
Yeah.
Which I did for a bit, and it worked really well for a while. But then, kind of time happens, and then all
Yeah.
of a sudden it's, you're 20, 21, 22. and you've kind of been doing these small productions for years, and you haven't really, well, you haven't really made money from it, you know?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, lockdown happened,
Not great.
which was brilliant. But the funniest thing about lockdown was I actually quit my job the day of lockdown, and signed a contract with a different bar.
Yeah.
And both places just never got back to me, so I never got any kind of money over lockdown from any work. So I then had to sign up to benefits.
Okay.
Quite, it was an experience. I wouldn't
Yeah.
recommend everyone to be on benefits, but it definitely helped me out when I was on it.
Yeah, because I'm presuming like a lot of people were furloughed if they were working while when we were on lockdown, and I'm presuming people still had to live, so people were out maybe put out of work, so they had to claim benefits, I suppose, didn't they? They had no choice.
And I was one of those people, you know. I had to get food and toiletries, and I need to get supplies for surviving lockdown. All of a sudden, then, kind of after being on benefits, my friend kind of phoned me and was like, "You seen Twin Town? Yeah, you know the director? Yeah, Kev. He's shooting a movie down my farm. Do you fancy like giving us a hand?" Yeah, it'd be brilliant. I've literally nothing else to do. Then I ended up spending like it must have been like 3, 4, maybe 5 months just down Gower, essentially living with Kev,
Right.
which was an experience on itself, and I learned a lot from him.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think we talked about it before. I work for with Kevin Allen as well, and yes, he's one of a kind.
He is definitely one of a kind, and I will never speak ill of the man. I will never
No.
I'll never forget my experience down that farm, and like just how much he kind of taught me, and kind of how much faith he put in me as well. It was quite inspiring actually to kind of see someone that, especially as a boy from Swansea, seeing someone that created a Swansea cult classic kind of
Yeah.
under his wing was a little bit special, to be honest. It was it was very much a pinch me moment.
So,
And
so,
then he
so.
asked and then he asked me to be his assistant editor, and I went, "I've never edited a movie before in my life, Kev. Why are you asking me?" And then I had to learn Avid then on the fly with a book that was like 10 years out of date with no
Oh
input.
my God. But he probably asked you, knowing Kevin, he probably asked you because he knew he could get on with you.
Yes, definitely.
You know?
We have very similar sense of humors. Yeah.
It's a close bond working with an editor, isn't it? Especially if you want to be in on the edit.
Gosh, yeah. And as someone that it was quite a funny experience, to be honest. Kev asked me if I knew any editors, and a friend of mine that I work with a lot to this day had just finished uni, and I went, "Yeah, she can edit your movie, you'll be fine." And then we get down to the Gower, and he wants to edit on Avid, and she's never edited on Avid before, so when the both of us were kind of figuring it out together while living in the
Oh my
middle of
God.
nowhere with no internet. It was a lovely experience that I'll never forget.
And was this in the middle of everyone wearing masks and,
Yeah,
anti-vax?
everyone's wearing masks. People were sleeping in tents and caravans. Yeah, it was kind of, it was one of the first productions in Wales, I think, that was actually filming during COVID.
I think War of the Worlds was filming, wasn't it, as
Yeah,
well?
I think War of the Worlds was filming at the same time. I'm sure there was other stuff kind of going on at that same time as well.
So this was the sequel to Twin Town, yeah?
It was, I don't think it's technically the sequel because I
Okay.
believe, I can't remember what company it is that owns the right to the name Twin Town. But I don't think they had any involvement in it. So I think it's more of a spiritual successor to Twin Town than it was an actual sequel. But yeah, to kind of talk to Kev about Twin Town and how they came up with the idea and how it evolved and why he chose Swansea was really influential for me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, how old were you when Twin Town came out? You couldn't have been very old.
I don't even think I was born, to be honest.
I think it was 1997, I think it was.
Yeah, I was born in 98,
Oh
so
my
at
God.
least a
Okay.
year away, you know. So
I think
yeah.
I'm sure it was 97 because I remember going with my friend Sioned and we smuggled a bottle of vodka in.
Of course, of course.
Because somebody said, take some alcohol with you because it'll enhance it, the film. It's great, you
Yeah.
know?
Yeah, I can imagine, to be honest. But yeah, and yeah, so after kind of working with Kev then, I went back into hospitality just because things were kind of opening up again.
Yeah.
I needed kind of money quick. And then all of a sudden, my friend kind of asked me to cover them on this shoot in Bay Studios in Swansea.
Yeah.
Just kind of like, yeah, sounds good. I'm good friends with my manager. They'll let me have 6 weeks off. And then kind of through that production, then I met two of your former apprentices, Jake May and Naomi.
Ah, okay, yeah.
And I kind of ended up talking to them then about like what they were doing, what they were learning. And they just told me about Skill Camry, the Crew Apprentice. They told me about the grand a month, and I went, "Oh, really? Sounds brilliant. You're telling me that they're putting you on productions and you're still getting paid? Okay, brilliant. That sounds like something I need to sign up to."
So you know when Jake and Naomi told you about Crew,
Yeah.
was it quite easy to navigate? Was it quite easy to find it online and, you know, information
Yeah,
about it?
you know, they
Yeah.
just said, you know, Skill Cymru, search her up. You want to look at the Crew Apprenticeship. Not that there's anything against the, what's the other apprenticeship? The BBC.
We tend to call it level three, ACDM level three apprenticeship. I mean, the main difference is that you get one job for the year or 18 months if you're with the BBC. So you know, you're pretty confined to that one job, which suits a lot of people. But I think it sounded like Crew was what you were looking for, maybe.
Yeah, my God, yeah, it was like perfect for me, you know. It gave me kind of an opportunity to jump from different productions. It gave me the opportunity to kind of work in departments that I hadn't necessarily had experience in.
Yeah.
And it paid, you know, pretty well considering, you know, I had been working in hospitality from the age of 18 onwards, and I might
Yeah.
be paid like 300 quid for the month, maybe a little bit more. So, you know, it was a big, you know, wage increase for myself anyway. So I just kind of went, let's go for it, you know. Why not? I have nothing to lose. I'm gonna learn, and at the end of the day, I was gonna get a qualification out of it. And as someone that dropped out of college, I was like, I look great on my CV.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, and it was, you know.
If I'm right in thinking, Jasper, you got a production placement pretty quickly, didn't you, after starting on Crew? Where was your first placement? Where were you?
So my first placement was with Black Cake.
Which is
which
Tell
was,
us a bit about Blackgate. It was a huge production, wasn't it?
yeah. So I was there for a month, but yeah, Blackgate was kind of amazing, to be honest. Because I had never been on a production of that scale before, like ever in my life. It was also in a department that I'd never been on either. So I'd gone straight into the production office, which was very different to what I'm kind of used to. I'm always on set. I was always, running. And even like outside of the film and TV world, I was working in bars or restaurants. So I was always kind of on my feet, always working with my hands, So it was a vastly different kind of experience to what I was kind of used to. But everyone there kind of took me under their wing and, probably looked after me, It kind of showed me different aspects of the production office that I would never have kind of seen before. But then there was also kind of a lot of the production office that I already kind of knew, which was like, stock intake, stock count, distributing stock as well, making teas and coffees for everyone, printing signs out. But then there was another side of it, which was the kind of Excel, Google Docs, Moneypenny, things that I would never have thought I would use ever in my life. But everyone there kind of took their time, sat down with me, kind of went through, the motions of like, this is the information, this is how we want it to be read, this is how we want it to be sent out. And as well as, with Blackcake, it was quite interesting because it was an American and a British TV show.
Was it? Yeah, I remember that. I remember seeing a lot of American. Well, I met a few Americans that came across the corridor, you know.
And being able to kind of speak to them about their experiences in the industry and how kind of different that varies from the UK industry was really interesting. And it kind of made me aware of like how lucky we are in the UK with our kind of working conditions and our unions to kind of look after us as well.
Definitely. And was there a lot of filming happening abroad as well on this production?
So that kind of happened before I arrived. I think they were all in the Caribbean, which lucky them, to be honest. But I was kind of like hearing the end of like the tail end of all that happening. So kind of stuff with equipment coming back over, crew coming back over. I'm not quite sure how much I can discuss about it, but
No, just is it out yet, Black Cake?
I think it's out in America, just not the UK. I have a feeling it's out some point this year in the UK, but I know it's definitely out in America.
Because I'm sure for you, it'd be quite nice for you to see it in its entirety.
It was quite interesting that they kind of gave me all the scripts when I first arrived, and I was able to kind of read it all. And I did a lot of research on the production before kind of getting the job. I watched a lot of kind of interviews with the so the show is based on a book, so not much not many spoilers if you've read the book, but I'm not going to say much. But they kind of gave me the scripts after I'd kind of done all my research on it, and I was kind of always asking the production team kind of questions about like how are they doing this scene? Or, is there something we need to do in order for in order for us to kind of get that authentic feel that the books have?
I get you.
But a lot of it was down to art department, closed department, the ADs, lighting, costume, camera. But what I kind of learned was like the production office is there to support and there to give what they can within reason to each department to kind of create this show
I get you.
as well as possible. So it was really interesting to kind of see
Yeah, I mean, it's like the
that
production
side of
of,
it.
of course, because the production office really does set a lot up before you actually get onto the shoot, doesn't it?
Yeah, you don't kind of think about it, but they do a lot of the kind of initial decision makings, what
Yeah.
director are we getting in, what kind of cast and crew are we getting in, what location people are we going to get in, what sort of locations are can we afford, what funding do we have, how much budget do we have for each department. And then seeing them kind of make firm decisions on some things, and justifying it was really informative.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
So from Black Cake, you went to, am I right? You went to Seal Town Murders.
Yes, I went to Steel Town Murders with Seven Screen. That was quite a funny situation. So I had the interview with Brandy and Hugh. And then after the interview, I kind of went, because I was still with Black Cake at that time.
Right.
I went back into the Black Cake office. And then all of a sudden, the production manager and coordinator were phoning Brandy and Hugh, trying to get them not to take me on because they wanted me to stay on Black Cake with them.
Oh my God, you're in demand.
And I was like, oh, this is kind of the first time that's ever happened, really.
How lovely.
Which was lush, and fight over me more, please, please. So obviously, like, it's out of my hands. It's up to whatever, essentially, not you guys, but whatever the contracts are looking like. I'm actually really glad to have moved on from Black Cake. Not that there was anything wrong with Black Cake. I loved Black Cake. I loved the people that were on Black Cake. And I still talk to some of them to this day. But then to move from Black Cake, which was this massive big budget show, to Steel Town, which is a smaller budget. It had a smaller crew as well, so there was a lot more responsibility for myself. So I kind of took what I learned on Black Cake and my past experiences on set as a runner and in hospitality as well, because I think people in hospitality have a very good chance of making that jump over to film and television. It's surprisingly similar. I don't think people realize how similar it is.
Yeah, it's very much about getting on with people, isn't it?
Getting on with people and like making sure you can reach deadlines, you can do things quick without and being under pressure as well without kind of sinking, is really, really important. And then so going on to Steel Town, it was a much it was a lot more responsibility, and it was a lot smaller crew as well, so I felt like I was able to make genuine connections and friendships with a lot of the people that I was on the production bus with.
Were you
But
production office on this on Steel Town as well, or were you out on
yeah,
location?
so throughout the entire pr apprenticeship, I was in the production office. Later on, and I'll get to it when we kind of get there. I did have a little bit more flexibility with my role. But that was with Treon Hill Fiction Factory. With Steel Town, it was really interesting because Steel Town's based around Swansea. in I think it's the 70s and early 2000s. So it was really interesting to kind of film in Talbot and some in Swansea, of the Swansea I never kind of got to see,
Of
except for
course.
pictures of my parents kind of growing up. And then seeing that show kind of be released, and then all my friends on Facebook and Twitter are all going, "Oh my God, have you seen Steel Town Murders? It looks exactly like Swansea did all those years ago." Was quite magical, actually. It was really, really magical.
And then tell me about your last placement, which is, I think, your last placement, but you're sort of still there, aren't you?
So I did Steel Town up until December, and then I pretty much had all of December off, and I got my grand off you. I also got a holiday pay from Blackcake as well. Don't ask me how or why.
Well,
Extra money in over December. I'm happy with that.
yeah.
And then all of a sudden in January, I think I got a message from Nadine saying, "You're going to be on Fiction Factory's Trion Hill Pranar Brin. And you go to this location at this time," and that's it. I didn't have an interview for it, which was quite
Okay.
surprising for me, because I didn't really have any insight of who these people were, what sort of production it was. It was a little bit blind, to be honest.
Yeah.
And my car broke down on my way in, which was amazing.
Oh,
I ended up walking there, and yeah, I was quite surprised because so I did go to a Welsh school growing up, but I hadn't really spoken Welsh since leaving there in 20 must be 2015 maybe. Yeah, it must be 15.
okay.
So I didn't really have a lot of confidence in my Welsh language. I honestly had thought it was mostly gone. But then kind of Mary, Maynard, Fionn, kind of, took me under their wing, and were kind of aware that I was able to speak Welsh, but I didn't have a lot of confidence in it. So they were just kind of speaking, little sentences to me, just trying to get my confidence up a little bit until I was kind of able to communicate back with them, just little, bits and bobs, like, "Do you want milk, or do you want some sugar, or do you want a cuppa?"
Yeah.
But it was that kind of snowball effect then, that because it was quite a long shoot, to be fair.
Right.
It was, I think the shoot started in February, so it was about 6 weeks of pre-production, and then it was 16 weeks of shoot.
Whoa.
Which is, it's a long shoot.
Yeah.
But it was also a back-to-back show, shot in English and Welsh, which was the first time I had ever done anything like that, and that was really informative, actually. As well as, like, it was quite inspiring seeing high quality Welsh television being made in South Wales, and it kind of, like, it made me think a lot about kind of what I wanted to do and with my career and where I kind of wanted to go.
Well, I was going to ask you, did you ever think that the Welsh language that you, because you were in a school going Gwyl, weren't you,
Yeah,
Jennifer?
yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever think that your Welsh language that you learnt whilst at school would ever come into your career path?
No, not really. I hate saying it now, because looking back at it was me being young and stupid. But I just didn't enjoy speaking Welsh. I didn't really see a point to it. I dismissed it a lot when I was younger. But as I kind of grown up and I've spoken to more people similar to me who did go to Welsh schools growing up, but just don't speak it much outside of school, or, didn't really have parents or grandparents to speak Welsh to. They've kind of have this longing of going back to it because they almost feel like their identity's gone. But my parents, so this kind of goes back to me always saying that I wanted to be in film and TV. My parents kind of heard and saw that and went, right, if our kid is serious about this, the easiest way for him to kind of get into that industry, it would be through Welsh language, Welsh medium, television and films. So, all of a sudden, without kind of realizing it, I have an advantage on a lot of my peers just for the fact that I live in Wales and I speak Welsh. And I'm kind of throughout Treon Hill, Pren Bryn, I kind of realized that, and I was like, oh, I really need to make use of this tool that I've been given. And I need to, use it as much as I can.
I wanted to ask you lastly, Jasper, about people sort of coming off the career apprenticeship and worried about getting work. So you finished with us last July, and am I right in saying that you've worked continuously since July?
I haven't really stopped. So Skill Cymru kind of not Skill Cymru, Fiction Factory just kind of kept me on after our production. They were aware that I had kind of coursework to complete, so they gave me that time to come back to you guys to finish my coursework, to hand it in, say our goodbyes and all that. And then yeah, they kind of gave me that freedom to come back and to work with them, and all of a sudden they were asking me if I was interested in post-production. And as I spoke about earlier, I have some experience in post-production, not enough to edit a movie. They were incredibly helpful and very supportive of me. And they also gave me a free, so while I was out of school, Cymru, and I was in, I was in a job with Fiction Factory. I had been, someone had messaged me asking if I could cover them for a few days on Famous Five. And I had asked, Fiction Factory, like, are you happy with me just seeing where this goes, how well it does? And it was only like a day or two. It was barely anything, but it was enough for me to kind of be in a new environment with new people, to kind of sell myself again, to kind of keep that momentum going,
Definitely.
because I think that's a lot of the industry is kind of having people remember your work ethic, who you are, the type of work you can do, and they get along with you. So they just kind of want to bring you along. They want to, give your name to other people for other jobs. They, because it'll look good on them as much as it does look good on you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they've seen your they've worked with you. They can see what you can produce. They can see what you do, and moving people on to different productions. That's how the industry works, isn't it?
Yeah, and like everyone talks, and I think that was kind of the only reason I was able to get the Pren Bryn Treon Hill job without an interview, is because Mainer and Fionn and Mary had all worked with, the people on Black Cake and the people on Steel Town, so they didn't really need to talk to me directly to see who I was as a person and what my work ethic was. They just asked these two previous productions I've just worked on about how well I did, and is it worth me kind of joining the team? And obviously, I
Exactly.
made enough of an impact for them to go, this guy's great. You need to bring him on.
Fantastic. So you were telling me before we start, we press record that you're with Fiction Factory now until April, yeah?
Yes, yeah, I'm with them till April. They seem to just keep extending my contract, so I'm not, I'm not gonna say no.
No.
Never gonna say no. But the line producer has, some things lined up, and she seems, interested in bringing me along as well. So hopefully, all that kind of works out, and I'll have work up until Christmas, the end Christmas this year,
Fantastic. And you're still happy working in production office, but you do feel it gives you other avenues as well, if potentially if you wanted them, maybe.
Yeah, my gosh, yeah, I've been in constant communication with Fee and Mayner and Mary, especially throughout the production. There were moments where, they were asking me, would I like experience on floor, or throughout the post-production aspect, they asked if I wanted to go into the ADR sessions or into the edit session, edit suite to
Brilliant.
see them edit. They were all really kind of supportive of different avenues I could potentially go into.
Yeah.
And I did definitely take them up on some of those offers, because I'd never been in an ADR suite. I'd never been in a proper professional editing suite.
No.
It's kind of
For
like,
that, for those who don't know, ADR is additional dialogue recording, and it mainly happens on films, isn't it, and drama production.
films, dramas, I think some animations probably do it, but I think it's just voiceover at that point. But then Fee, probably shouldn't have done it, but I did do it. It was during one of our casting crew, I think it was like after 7 or 8 weeks of shooting, we had like a week off, where and we decided to throw everyone a party to kind of go, well done, we're halfway through. And we all got quite drunk, and I ended up making mojitos for all the cast and the producers. I was like, I'm making the best mojitos in South Wales, trust me guys. Made a bunch of cocktails for everyone. And then, I think I was outside having a cig with Fee, and we were kind of talking about like art and writing. And I mentioned that I was writing a script with some friends.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh my God, you should totally send it to me. You should, I, you know, please let me read it. And I think I went away from that, and I messaged my friends. I was like, oh my God, we need to like redraft this script like now, so we can send it to this person. We need to make a very good first impression. And I think it was about 5 weeks later. So it wasn't immediate. It was a while, and I went to Fee.
Yeah.
Do you remember saying that you'd be up for reading one of my scripts? She was like, I did. I was like, yeah. And the cast and crew, she's like, oh yeah, I remember. Send it over. So I then did, and since then, she's been really supportive and a champion, really, of mine and my friends' work, and helping us kind of develop it a bit more. And she's gotten us in contact with a story consultant, and as let us talk to him as well, about like what we could improve on our scripts and where we want the script to go. So it's
Wow.
just been like amazing, amazing, amazing opportunity, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean that's fantastic. So it's like, watch this space.
Hopefully, yeah. Well, if we don't do anything with that script, I'm sure there'll be another script that we try and get made.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, but there's always a script idea in that head somewhere, isn't there?
Too many, to be honest. I need to kind of like stick things on the wall to not remember, to not forget them, but also to solely focus on just one idea instead of doing 12 at the same time.
Yeah, good thinking, Bama.
Yeah.